Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Jason Bond again, and of course, Dr. Bobby Golden's with me. And we also have with us today Dr. Jeff Gore, our rice entomologist, and Jeff's going to join us and talk about a few things today.
You know, the last several weeks we've talked a lot about pre-flood herbicides, pre-flood fertilizers, and we mentioned a little bit earlier that we probably got about 20 to 25% of our rice flooded. With flooding generally comes scarring and the occurrence of water weevils in the field, and so we're going to have Jeff talk a little bit about that for us.
Yeah, the biggest thing as we go to flood in terms of rice water weevil, the number one question I get every year is, do I mix a pyrethroid in with my pre-flood herbicide application? And the one thing I talk about a lot when I get those calls is the fact that a pyrethroid is targeting the adult water weevils that generally are going to move into the field once that full flood is on the field. Once that field's completely flooded is when rice water weevils move in.
Yeah, when we're talking about rice water weevils moving in and that field's completely flooded, you're talking about 5 days, 7 days, 24 hours after the flood's established? How long does it take for those rice water weevils to show up and start scarring?
Well, it's going to depend on what's in the environment right around the field. It can be very quick, but as soon as there's standing water on that field, or even on a part of that field, they're going to go to that water that's standing because that's where they want to lay eggs. And so in terms of the pyrethroid and the question that I get with that pre-flood herbicide application is that a pyrethroid generally, the residual control is only going to be at most 2 to 3 days. Usually it's going to be about 2 days at the most under the conditions that we are during the summer with hot temperatures and bright sunshine. That pyrethroid is broken down pretty fast.
So Jason was talking a little earlier about having a distinct ability to float rice with Icon on it. We no longer have Icon anymore.
That's a fact. I did that.
You floated rice with Icon. That's amazing. But because we don't have Icon, we still got some other seed treatments for rice. What are they bringing to the table, Jeff, when we talk about, you talked about pyrethroids, but what is our seed treatments giving us for rice water weevil?
Well, we have three seed treatments, Cruiser Max, Nipset, and Dermacor. The bulk of our rice is treated with Cruiser Max or Nipset, the two neonicotinoid insecticides. So our data shows that all of the seed treatments bring a lot to the table from a rice water weevil management standpoint, but they all have different strengths and weaknesses. And the neonics, which we're using on most of our rice, are highly water soluble, so they can be lost very easily, especially if we've had to flush a field or if we've gotten a lot of rain on the field before we go to flood. If it's taken a long time to go to flood, we can lose some efficacy with those two seed treatments. So it's real important once we get that flood on to start scouting and looking for that scarring that you talked about at the beginning.
Jeff, how long is long? Bobby always asked me about that. You know, we're talking about length of residual herbicides or even weed size. So how long is long, you know, if we were in a long period from planting to flood?
So I would say if it takes 5 weeks or more to get to that flood, that's probably going to be...
From emergence or planting?
From planting.
Okay.
Because you got to think about it with these seed treatments is... The efficacy of those seed treatments starts when that seed goes in the ground, not when the plant comes up.
Makes sense.
So if the rice is planted in cool conditions and it takes 10 to 14 days for it to come up, and then another 3 weeks to go to flood, you're at 5 weeks right there from the time that seed treatment's starting to break down, once it gets in the environment. And so that's going to impact the efficacy of the seed treatment. If we can plant the rice and it comes up in 5 to 7 days and we get the flood on it 3 weeks, you're at 4 weeks. And the seed treatment, from all our data, shows that should work really well in that scenario.
Okay. So you said earlier that most of the seed treatments that we're using on rice are neonics. Now, I know that's a big buzzword out there right now, and you've did a lot of work with pollinator groups and such, and I know you have data with honeybees visiting rice fields. So where are we at today in Mississippi with honeybees, rice fields, and neonicotinoid? I can't say that word. Y'all know that.
You were close.
I was close.
You were close, but you didn't quite get
closer than I've ever been, probably. But where are we at?
Well, I mean, you're right. We've done a lot of work on that here in Mississippi, as well as Gus Lorenz, my counterpart in Arkansas, has done a lot of work as well. And basically what it's showing is that we can observe honeybees visiting rice fields, especially if there's hives close to that field. We don't think that they travel long distances to seek out a rice field like they might some other crops like soybeans, but honeybees tend to be opportunistic feeders, and when anything's flowering, they're going to visit it because they require a diversity of pollen. And so we can occasionally observe honeybees in rice fields. Now, the other component of that is that we've also done a lot of work looking at the levels of neonicotinoids in rice pollen and other structures when rice is flowering. And essentially what we found is that the levels are extremely low and very rare that we find levels of neonics in rice once it starts flowering. And so overall we feel that the risk to honeybees is fairly low from rice production.
Jeff, I'm gonna sidetrack you. I was thinking when you were talking about the pyrethroids earlier, it seemed like 8 or 10 years ago that was a conversation that I would have with people, would be mixing an insecticide with their pre-flood herbicide application. But after you mentioned it, I got to thinking, you know, that's it really hadn't been something that's come up in more recent years. And naturally, people don't ask me about insecticides, and God love them for it, because that would just be another reason for me to say I don't know, and I say I don't know enough. But
that's why you say call Jeff Gore.
That's right, call Jeff. What percent of acres do you think that in the pre-flood herbicide we do get a combination of insecticide?
Just a guess would be somewhere around 20 to 30.
I probably would. I wasn't thinking about a number, but now that you mentioned, that's probably, you know, I probably would have said, I would have probably went on the low end of that, but
in the ballpark.
And the reason you probably don't get a lot of those calls anymore is because we do have a seed treatment on the seed.
Well, you know, I had a guy in Arkansas call me that's been working in rice for a long time, and he said, man, what did we do before seed treatments? So I think hearing guys that are, you know, veterans of the industry say things like that in a year as tough as this year has been just kind of speaks well of where we're going with the seed treatment thing.
Yeah, the other question I have, Jeff, you know, Bobby mentioned Arkansas and seed treatments, and there's a lot of work over there with seed treatments and then simulated drift with different herbicides. I know you and I have done some projects in the past with just some of our rice herbicides, you know, with and without seed treatments. So just talk for a second about, you know, seed treatments and what's going on when we're, you know, either injuring the rice with a labeled treatment or, you know, in the unfortunate case of drift.
Well, I think both of y'all know that with any crop, the thing that we're trying to manage is stress to that crop, and we're trying to minimize stress to that crop. And so what we're really talking about is multiple stresses on a crop. So herbicide injury is going to stress a crop. The crop's going to take a certain amount of energy and resources to recover from that stress. Insects are another stress. So in the case of rice and rice water weevil, just the fact that those larvae are feeding on the roots, it's going to impact that plant's ability to take up nutrients and recover from any other stress that's affecting that plant.
So basically, if you ain't got roots, you ain't got much. And with rice water weevil taking out the roots, can't you know, take up herbicides into the plant. You can't take up any, you know, fertilizer in the plant. So this is a big thing that, you know, I don't think a lot of people pay close enough attention to.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the bottom line is that with the seed treatment, and it's not just rice water weevil that's impacting some of that. There's a lot of things that'll feed on a rice plant that normally aren't going to impact yield. And so what we end up with when we use a seed treatment is we just end up with an overall healthier, more robust plant that can tolerate other stresses better.
Something else I thought about, Jeff, you mentioned prolonging that time from planting to flood and that influence on the effectiveness of the seed treatment. But then I've also heard, especially when I was in Louisiana with some water-seeded rice, you know, that the weevils, the adult weevils, are attracted to open water. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, I was making sure my memory was right there. So would there be any incentive for possibly delaying your flood until you have maybe a denser rice canopy in one used as a tool to manage water weevils?
Well, just from a rice water weevil standpoint, there has been a lot of research done on delaying the flood. And in general, there's two things that can happen there. Is that, like you said, it's decreasing the amount of open water. And rice water weevils find rice fields, flooded rice fields, by sight mostly. So you'll tend to get a heavier infestation and heavier egg lay after a full moon, or when there's a full moon. Basically, they're flying at night and they're seeing that moonlight reflecting off the water, and it's helping them.
So a water weevil is a lot smarter than a pigweed.
It's a lot smarter than a pigweed, apparently. You know, it's got eyeballs and wings. What do you expect?
There's a shot.
The other thing with that, though, is that the older rice is, the better it's going to be able to tolerate maggots on the roots, because it has a more developed root system. And so one maggot on a six-week-old plant isn't going to do as much damage as one maggot on a four-week-old plant.
Just thinking about rice, there's possibly a benefit to it, but with the seed treatment and then combined with the other reasons why we would want to flood rice earlier, that's probably not anything that we would ever advocate for management.
That's right. I mean, it's something that we can get some benefits from, but if those few benefits are outweighed by other things like fertilizer management and weed management,
right,
that's going to, you know, turn into a net negative effect.
When is the flooded rice safe?
I don't really know the answer to that question.
Stumped entomologist.
Kudos to you.
Like I said earlier, the older rice is, the more tolerant it is a rice water weevil.
And it's going to hit that rapid growth stage too.
Yeah,
so that would be, you know, putting on a lot more roots.
So one thing that happened last year that I noticed in a lot of my data is, we did have extremely high rice water weevil numbers last year, but for the most part, I didn't see as big of a yield impact from the use of a seed treatment as I would have expected. And I think what happened was last year, at least in some of our plots, is that when those rice water weevils moved into our fields, it was a week to 10 days after we flooded. So that rice had already hit that rapid growth stage.
So it kind of just basically outrun it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think where the greatest risk from rice water weevil occurs is when you're first putting that flood on and those weevils are moving into the field right after the flood goes on.
So I guess, you know, to wrap this thing up right now, just remind us, what are our thresholds for rice water weevil in Mississippi? I know they may be different than what they are in other states, so give us a short rundown on that.
Well, we don't really, I wouldn't say we have thresholds for rice water weevil in rice, because it is such a different insect than other insects that we deal with. The published thresholds from years ago, back when we used to use Furadan, was one weevil per core. We often greatly exceed that. And so now we talk more about a threshold for spraying a pyrethroid on the rice. And we tried to get some data on it last year. But when the rice water weevils moved in, we went from 0% scarring to 100% scarring in 2 days. But the general feeling is when you see about 50% scarring from the adults,
you need to pull the trigger.
Is when we need to make a spray. And that's usually a good sign that that seed treatment's not working if you have a seed treatment.
All right, well, that was good to hear somebody besides me and you talk, Bobby, for a change. Well, Jeff's obviously smarter than me. Or you?
Well, he brought the thunder on us today, I'm sure about that.
So, anyway, thank you, Jeff. And we'll definitely get Jeff back on at some point in the future when we get to stink bug season. And talk about that. But otherwise, I'm done. If y'all don't have anything else to talk about, I appreciate everybody listening.
You're done. I thought you was hungry. Make up your mind, dude.
I'm hungry.
Which means he's done.
Appreciate y'all guys listening. Like always, if you like what you hear, give us a thumbs up. If you don't like what you hear, give us a call and we'll talk about it.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.